Hello, everybody. Welcome again to You're the Cure. This is Dr. Ben Edwards with Veritas Medical. Super excited today to be bringing you some cool information about coffee. One of probably America's favorite pastimes, sipping on a cup of coffee. You all, my longtime listeners, have heard me say many times that the American food producers / drink producers, they're in it for one thing, and that's to make money. I mean, like every business, it's all about profits and convenience. And Americans have traded convenience and cost for health. And therefore, in order to not be a standard American health statistic, which I remind everybody is we come in dead last with all the different health categories. We're the sickest. We die the youngest. So if you want to avoid being a standard American statistic, you're going to have to live and eat and drink like a non-standard American, meaning you're going to have to possibly do things that are a little more inconvenient or cost a little more. But at the end result is your health is going to be there. So when I heard about Andrew Salisbury, who's our guest today, one of the things that caught my attention was he made a decision to produce a drink for the health benefits, irregardless of the cost and convenience factors. Totally opposite of what I talk about American food producers and drink producers do. And also it resonated because a guiding principle in our practice here at Veritas is we make decisions based off the benefit of our patients. What's going to benefit a patient the most? Then let's do that. As opposed to what's going to increase our profit margin the most, and let's do that. So we always try to make decisions based off benefit for those who we impact, which is our patients and the general public. So really resonated with me when I first heard that. So Andrew Salisbury, I'll really let you, Andrew, you introduce yourself, because basically I'm going to introduce you as a righteous man who produces really healthy coffee, went on a quest to produce healthy coffee, and does that now. Purity Coffee is his company. PurityCoffee.com is his website. I encourage everybody to look at that. But Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the show today how coffee can be so healthy and beneficial. One last piece of information. I first got introduced to you by Ben Greenfield. Greenfield, I don't know him, but I follow him. A lot of people follow him. He's a great health and wellness fitness expert guru, and he interviews lots of super, super cool folks on his podcast. And it's interesting because Ben grew up in a family. He talked about it in your interview of his dad and mom were coffee connoisseurs. He grew up under that. His dad roasted these blends of these beans. He had this whole upbringing in the coffee world. Well, I'm totally opposite. My name's Ben, but that's about where we differ there. I mean, my parents drank coffee just out of habit, like a Folgers or Maxwell House or whatever. I didn't like the smell of it, sure didn't like the taste of it, never got into coffee, end up in medical school, and of course all my friends are drinking coffee so they can stay up all night to study, or when we're on rotations in the hospital, you're up all night on call, and they all told me, you're going to start drinking coffee because there's no way you can be on call all night and not drink coffee. So I took it as a personal challenge to not drink coffee, and I made it all the way through medical school, internship, residency, 48, 72 hours up all night, two nights in a row, and never drank coffee. Got into my marriage. My wife's family drank coffee. They're ranchers out here in West Texas, and they're cowboys that just drink coffee. And it was like this personal, prideful mission of mine to not drink coffee. And then I hear about the health benefits, and I'm all about health, and I preach health all day long. And to eat, let thy medicine be thy food, and thy food be thy medicine. And when I learned the truth about the coffee bean, I'm a coffee drinker now, and I drink Andrew's coffee. So anyways, little backstory there. I chuckled when Ben Greenfield gave his backstory, and I'm thinking mine's opposite, but I ended up in the same place. I'm drinking this really good coffee for the health benefits. So Andrew, thank you for all you've done, but share with the listener, kind of give us the backstory, where you came from, how you got to where you are now, basically, as much as, or as little as you want to share with your personal backstory.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's sort of interesting. I mean, I have a similar story, though I didn't actively avoid coffee. As you can probably tell, I'm from England, and I was never much of a coffee drinker. It was always tea, and that was what I would drink daily. And it was only really just over 4 years ago that my coffee habit changed, and it all really started because my wife Amber was having some health issues, and at the time, I'm sure you've dealt with some of these sort of similar things with either adrenal fatigue or it was mold sensitivity, but it was one of these things that was difficult for doctors to pinpoint. But the end result was that she had very low energy, and like most people do, she turned to coffee to sort of give her that extra boost. And I started looking into it really because I felt like what she was doing was probably a disservice to her, that she was doing, one foot on the accelerator, one foot on the brake. And then as I started to look into it, I found out, just like you did, that really the reverse was true. That in fact, coffee can be incredibly good for you. It's, number one source of antioxidants in the American diet. And that was one argument that I lost with my wife when I started encouraging her to drink coffee. So very, very similar sort of background.
Well,
But I'd say, yeah, and so that really did set me down this path of exploring the health benefits of coffee. Originally, as I mentioned, it came because my wife was having these health issues and drinking coffee. But then I was lucky enough to meet two professors at the Institute of Coffee Studies in Vanderbilt, and they basically educated me that coffee's really good for you, and in particular with a number of areas that I thought were important. One is the prevention of type 2 diabetes, the other is liver health, and there was just a whole long shopping list of health benefits to coffee. And my first reaction was, this just can't be true. This there can't be so many health benefits to coffee, and I not know about it. I mean, I consider myself, a healthy person, that I eat well, that I always look for organic food, and I was just so surprised to see peer-reviewed studies on the health benefits of coffee. And the first step to this was that they introduced me to Dr. Adriana Farrar, who's one of the leading coffee scientists when it comes to health in the world, from the University of Brazil in Rio de Janeiro. So that sort of set us down a path of researching every part of the production process with only one goal in mind. We looked at this and said, what if we only cared about health? What if we didn't care about cost, and we didn't care about convenience or a distribution method, and we had no vested interest in protecting any method of production. And with her guidance, as I was able to look at every step of the production process with only health in mind, and that's how we started on what 2 years ago was really a project, but then became a business.
Okay, so but prior to this, you had no experience in the food and beverage industry or production of anything. This is purely based off of your wife was sick and this coffee you thought was an issue.
Almost the opposite. I had a business I built up in Latin America, which was and sold in 2011, which was technology that was very large sales that would take a year or so to close. And I knew my top 100 customers, and went from something that like that to a business where I just felt like this is something that information that had to get out. And so I did the common sort of entrepreneur's mistake of trying to jump from one business to another and think you can be successful in it, even though it's wildly different. But I did it with my eyes open. I felt like this was one of these things that really somebody needed to get the message out about coffee and health, and I expect to be a lot of other coffee companies that are going to be right behind saying the same thing.
Right. Well, speak a little more to these studies that you've touched on, diabetes, liver disease. I think 19,000 studies is what I read on your website of health benefits. But then what we also hear that maybe coffee's not good, or I think it was California maybe that some proposition about cancer and coffee. So can you speak a little bit about to to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can talk a little bit about Proposition 65, which is in California. But as a sort of starting point, I'd say this, that coffee is incredibly well studied. It's, you know, the most well studied food on the planet. 19,000 studies have been done on coffee and health. But beyond that, they're very serious studies that are peer reviewed, university studies, you know, New England Journal of Medicine. One study in particular that I'm thinking of is it tracks 1,137,000 people over around 30 years in the nurses study, and that it shows that drinkers of coffee who drink 3 to 5 cups of coffee a day have a 45% lower chance of ever developing type 2 diabetes. So that's pretty crazy in a world where, you know, we have 21 million people in America who are diabetic, but 89 million, I think at last counts, who are pre-diabetic, whether they've been diagnosed or not. And most people are not aware that one thing that's right at their fingertips should be their, you know, their consumption of coffee. Liver is something that I'm particularly passionate about in the sense that Dr. Sanjeev Chopra, he's a liver surgeon. He was the last dean of admissions at Harvard Med School, and he's been really talking about the health benefits of coffee on liver for the last 35 years, probably longer than anybody else. Any expert has been talking about coffee and health. And he says that in all of his time practicing as a liver surgeon, doing the rounds, he's never seen anybody with end-stage liver disease who's a regular coffee drinker. I mean, he says, you know, his sort of line is, if they're a coffee drinker, I don't see them. And that's probably one of the most profound benefits that coffee has. A number of these studies show, and as I said, very large peer-reviewed studies show that for every cup of coffee you drink from the baseline, you have a 20% lower chance of developing fatty liver, liver cirrhosis, or end-stage liver disease. Wow. So, you know, pretty shocking stuff. I mean, you know, what I'm sort of focused on is what I don't really understand is why there's not more talk around coffee and health with these sort of studies that are out there that are so well supported. But to go back to your point about, you know, there's always arguments where people are saying, yes, but, and in every article that I see, you know, when they'll give a shopping list of all the health benefits of coffee, they'll always at the end have a disclaimer that says, yes, but don't go out and increase your coffee intake now because it increases nervousness and jitters and sleepless nights. I mean, there really doesn't, that there seems to be a disservice being done with that sort of reporting, because the two things are just not in the same universe. The health benefits of coffee are so profound, and the potential side effects are just so minimal compared to the upside. So, and if you like, we can address a little bit about Proposition 65, and I can tell you where that's how that's come about.
Yeah, I think that'd be beneficial. If you just explain even what that is, most of our listeners here probably haven't heard of that.
Yeah, and it's a very well-meaning law in California, which is the idea that any products that could, or chemicals that could cause cancer, there should be a warning label on that product to warn consumers of the cancer risk of that particular product. So it's very well-meaning, but the problem is so many different chemicals were on that list, and one of the chemicals that's on the list is a thing called acrylamide. Now, acrylamide is created in any cooked food or carbohydrate, particularly things like toast or French fries, have a lot of acrylamide. Coffee also has acrylamide in the first stage of roasting. But what happened is there was a lawsuit where lawyers can argue that companies need to put a cancer warning label if the product contains any amounts of this substance. So regardless of how small the amount is, it's the job of the coffee company to prove that with absolute certainty that there are no causes of cancer in 1 out of 100,000 uses of the product. So it's pretty much impossible to prove a negative. But bottom line is, as far as coffee, if you're concerned about coffee and acrylamide, you have to have 200 cups of coffee to have the same level of acrylamide as in one fast food French fries. So I think you're pretty safe.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Bring some clarity
Yeah.
to that. So obviously, health benefits far outweigh any potential side effects, but I would assume even potential negatives or side effects can be mitigated if you grow it, process it, grind it, roast it. You know, the whole processing process, if it's done
Yep.
properly, I would assume is going to create more health benefit or mitigate some of
Yeah.
the potential negatives. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's some, if I walk through some of the things that we decisions that we made, some of them are very obvious decisions. So if you're making every decision based on health, the first thing that you want to do is the coffee needs to be organic. I mean, that was a 5-minute decision. Coffee is the most heavily treated crop on the planet next to tobacco, so it has to be organic. And the problem is it's treated in countries that don't have the same level of oversight that you would in the US for the type of pesticides and herbicides that are used on the coffee. But there's a lot of other things that are less obvious when it comes to coffee and health. So for us, organic is a starting point, but beyond that, the coffee needs to be specialty grade, and specialty grade means the highest level of coffee. And the reason why that affects health is because if for a coffee to go below specialty grade, there has to be defects in the coffee. And every one of those defects represents a poor, an issue in the way that the coffee is handled, either in processing or picking. So specialty grade coffee, organic, but the big
Excuse me, do you mean a defect in the actual bean, like a blemish on the bean or the size or a
Yeah, it
nick
could
or?
be. Yeah, it could be that. It could be chipped or broken beans. It can also be things like that. If when you pick coffee cherries, if they're not handpicked, which the majority of mass-produced coffee is not handpicked, if it's not handpicked, you're going to have overripe cherries with underripe cherries, with ripe cherries. And what that does is it creates sort of mold in the processing of the coffee. It's like taking a moldy strawberry and putting in a vat of fresh strawberries. You're going to wake up the next day and all of your strawberries will be moldy because you've introduced a moldy strawberry into clean strawberries. It's a similar thing. If mold is ever introduced into coffee at any stage of the production, it's next to impossible to get rid of.
Wow.
So
So
mold is a big issue.
any defect along the way, which basically you're talking about, you have to hand select. I mean, a human eyeball has to look at every one of these cherries or coffee beans as they're being picked, pick them at the right stage. Obviously, they're
Yeah.
grown on the right farm. And I want to reiterate the organic because we live in West Texas.
Yeah.
Roundup Ready Cotton is well known here. We know that Roundup is sprayed, glyphosate sprayed heavily. But I think I heard you
Yeah.
say on another interview, coffee was at number one or number two most heavily sprayed food product in the world.
It's the number one food, and it's the second product when it the only other product that beats is tobacco.
Wow,
So
so that's a lot of
we all
chemical.
know. Yeah,
And only
yeah.
1 to 3%, I think I read, of all coffee grown in the world is organic, is not sprayed
That's
with
right.
chemical. Okay.
There's a lot of reason for that. It's difficult for the farmers. And so organic is the starting point for us. As you mentioned, it's very small, but in some cases, even organic certification isn't enough. So we test for pesticide residue. Because unfortunately, if you've got a problem with your crop and your family is eats or doesn't eat based on you bringing in that crop, farmers will spray even if they've got an organic certification. And so we test for pesticide residue. And one of the nice things when we started with a clean sheet of paper and we could make any decision, I know it sounds a little crazy, but yeah, we insist on hand-picked, hand-selected. And even another thing, which is called bird-friendly coffee, it's called Smithsonian bird-friendly. And the reason why that matters is we're not focused on the birds so much as we're focused on the fact that the coffee is grown in its natural habitat. And the end result of that, it means that it's bird-friendly and it doesn't disturb the local wildlife. But the reason we care about it is it's impossible to pick coffee with the sort of tractor trailers, unless it's in long rows of coffee trees. And so bird friendly is another way of us guaranteeing that the coffee is hand picked and hand selected.
Where is that the environment that's a native coffee plant will grow the most, will grow
It's all
the
the
best?
equatorial belt.
Okay.
So anywhere across the equator, across the world. So,
Lot of developing countries.
A lot of developing countries, a lot of countries where, when the pressure is to move price down, which it is with coffee because it's considered a commodity, it's harder to find the people who are really conscious about quality. And that's one of the reasons why finding very good quality organic coffee is difficult to get. But there's also one other thing in there which is also worth looking at. Coffee is the number one source of antioxidants in the American diet. Americans get more antioxidants from coffee than anything else. And the reason for that is that it's very rich in antioxidants. It's not a representation that the diet is poor. But the thing is, it's something that you do every single day. Well, the amount of antioxidants and the antioxidants in coffee is called CGA, chlorogenic acid, varies hugely from crop to crop, harvest to harvest, and it's not possible to predict it just by buying in the same farm again and again and again. What we do is we lab test about 40 organic coffees from around the world, and our decision on which coffee to go to is based on which one is highest in antioxidants for that particular harvest.
Wow, well, that's really impressive. So that, I mean, this could change year to year to year, and I'm sure it does, based on growing conditions and moisture and whatever.
It
Okay.
absolutely does, yeah.
Fascinating stuff. Andrew, we're up against a break, though. I know there's I'll definitely want to get more into the process of from growing to picking the whole process. So we'll take this break real quick, and then we will come back and finish this process out, and then I'm talking about how to get this coffee in your cup on your table. So y'all stick with us. You're listening to Andrew Salisbury with PurityCoffee.com is his website. This is Dr. Ben Edwards with You're the Cure. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. You're the Cure. Dr. Ben Edwards, VeritasMedical.com. I'm interviewing an awesome guest today, Andrew Salisbury, the coffee man, PurityCoffee.com. He's set out on a mission to find the world's healthiest coffee, or to make the world's healthiest coffee. His wife was Amber was suffering from chronic fatigue and health conditions that required them to look a little deeper and look outside the box of conventional medicine, because conventional medicine wasn't producing the results and the outcomes that Amber needed. And Amber was a coffee drinker, and that led Andrew to asking some questions about coffee. Was she getting too much, or is coffee good? Is it bad? Is it contributing to her fatigue? And that led him down this path of finding out coffee's super healthy, the richest source of antioxidants in the American diet. But there's a way to grow, pick, harvest, roast, process coffee to maximize the health benefits, and there's a way to do it that will make some of those health benefits disappear, or even make the potential cancer causing compounds increase. So that's what we're talking about today. And Andrew, let's pick up where we were at. So we mentioned organic. We've got to, of course, not spray. We've got to find farms that aren't spraying pesticide. It's the most highly sprayed food in the world. And then we've got to find these farms that are in the right environment, the natural grow environment for a coffee plant to grow. These beans or cherries have to be handpicked so that they're picked at the right stage of maturity of growth, and then there's no defects, opportunities for the health benefits to decline or for mold to grow. So organic, it's got to be the right farm. The antioxidant, that's where we really left off. So the antioxidant power, or the amount of antioxidants in each bean, you test that every year because it changes year to year from farm to farm. So
That's right.
that's an actual sampling you do every season, and just whoever is in the top one, top five, top 10, is there a cutoff there for antioxidant levels?
We use three independent labs: the University of Lisbon in Portugal, the University of Rio de Janeiro, and a lab for mold and pesticide residue in the U.S. called Silica. But we testing is a big part of this because you mentioned earlier on you're talking about, you know, either making the best coffee or finding the best coffee. It's actually a mixture of the two. We've got to start with the best raw product that we can possibly get our hands on. So that means it has to be starting with organic, specialty grade coffee that's tested to be free of mold and pesticides, you know, the highest level of antioxidants. But the next step beyond that is the creation part, which is when you roast coffee, you roast away the antioxidants in coffee. So coffee has thousands of different compounds and reactions that go on as you roast coffee. And it's actually remarkably complex. And luckily enough, we had Dr. Adriana Farrar from the University of Brazil help us with this and really dial in a roasting protocol that we use for every single one of our harvests on coffee. And basically what the roasting protocol does is we're trying to keep the antioxidants in the coffee. So as you roast the coffee, antioxidants drop off. So if you have very dark roasted coffee, you'll have very low antioxidants in that particular coffee. But in the early stages of roasting, you have acrylamide, which is formed. And even though I think a lot of fuss has been made about it, we still don't want to have high levels of acrylamide, so we want to roast just after the acrylamide levels have dropped off, and we pull the coffee out of that level. So there's a roasting protocol to keep the antioxidants in the coffee, and then finally one of the most important things is, well, we've done all these things to give you a great organic coffee, specialty grade, high in antioxidants. The coffee has to be fresh. Most people are drinking coffee, especially if it's store-bought coffee that was roasted months ago. And even in some of the large chains, it's still months old after roasting. The antioxidants in coffee drop off dramatically after around 15 to 20 days of roasting. So we've done all these things right. If you're drinking coffee that isn't delivered to you fresh, then you're losing a lot of the potential health benefits in the coffee. So a big, big long list of things.
Wow. Things that nobody thinks about. I mean, I doubt many Americans are thinking about the coffee they're pulling off the shelf, except for what's the cheapest one I can get or the most convenient drive-through I can run through real quick without even having a thought about this impact of just the delay, the staleness of the coffee.
Yeah.
So 15 days after you've roasted it, it starts to diminish the antioxidant. But that's so I'm hearing you say on the roasting, there's a sweet spot where you start to roast it and that acrylamide that could cause cancer if you got 200 cups, as you roast it, that'll start to increase. But then you hit a point where that goes down. But the antioxidants in it will go down if you roast it too long. So it's this perfect sweet spot. You get rid of the cancer-causing agent enough, and you still maximize the antioxidants enough. So it's this little window of opportunity on the roasting. Would you call that more of a medium if you had to term it? Is that a lighter or medium or kind of, I'm assuming, right in the middle?
Yeah. If I was to tell, and that's actually a very good point. I mean, I would imagine some of your listeners are thinking, well, you know, great if I can get purity, but if I can't, what do I do? And the advice that I would give my wife if she was out of town and she wanted to get a good coffee for her health is, you know, organic coffee, the best quality organic coffee that you can find, but about a medium roast. You want to go to a fresh coffee shop. The coffee has to be fresh, and you want to look for about a medium roast, and that's the term for that is city to full city. These sort of Starbucks and, you know, any of the large chains typically over roast their coffee, and the reason they over roast their coffee is they have a particular challenge, and their challenge is they want the coffee in Singapore to taste the same as the coffee in Seattle. So the only way for them to take a natural product and that tastes very differently from all over the world is roasted to a level where you're tasting burnt coffee, because burnt tastes like burnt wherever you drink it. And so that's sort of that's part of the reason why, particularly in these sort of these large chains, people have got used to drinking burnt coffee that just tastes pretty much the same across the board.
Wow. Kind of makes me never ever want to go to one of those places again.
Yeah.
Okay.
But luckily, there's always good local coffee shops, roasteries, places like that, they won't have gone through the lengths that we've gone through for health, but coffee generally is good for you, and the highest quality coffee you can get that's organic, I mean, is you're going to be well served.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about the nurses study you mentioned earlier. I mean, in the 19,000 studies, I'm imagining all those were done, which is pretty generical coffee.
Yep.
So even at that, there's all the health benefits. So imagine if
that's exactly it. That's such a good point. When people ask me, they say, you know, so other coffee is bad for you. My response is no. It's just simply not true. And that's not what we're saying either. We're just saying that coffee is good for you. And all of these studies have been done across the board on a wide range of coffees, and people taking it in lots of different ways, from instant coffee to specialty coffee. And all of the results that you've seen in coffee have been very, very positive. But our stance is they've been very, very positive, despite the fact that nobody's really been focusing any attention onto how it could be improved for health.
Right.
And our belief is that if you just pay a little bit of attention to the things that cause the benefit, like the antioxidants, and make sure you have none of the bad stuff, like the like acrylamide and the and pesticides and mold and that sort of thing in coffee, then you're likely to be doing yourself a bigger favor than you know, not paying attention to it.
Right. Yeah. Great point. Well, let's go back to the 15 days after roasting. The antioxidant levels start to decline. So how does your company combat that?
So that was one of our bigger challenges. One of our bigger challenges is we realized early on, if we were making every decision based on health, we were never going to really be in stores, that it would just be too difficult in terms of a supply chain. So we set up our sales through subscription or online, and people go online, they order our coffee. It's roasted the same day and shipped to you within about 2 days of roasting. So the coffee degasses, it's shipped within 2 days of roasting. And what we do is we nitrogen flush the bag. So each bag is flushed with nitrogen, each K-cup is flushed with nitrogen, which means that the coffee doesn't stale until you open the bag. So our coffee means that, you know, you can have a coffee sitting around for a month, 2 months, and not open the bag. It'll be fresh until the moment you open the bag, and then it'll go through the natural staling process about 15 to 20 days.
Okay. So get that bag consumed once it's open, 15 to 20 days. And these are
It's another reason. That's it. And that is another point. People often for convenience consume ground coffee. But the problem with ground coffee is it oxidizes very quickly, meaning it oxidizes within about 30 minutes. So while full whole bean coffee will start to oxidize and the lipids turn, the oils on the coffee turn rancid after about 15 to 20 days, you start to see the staling. When you grind coffee, it actually starts staling within about 30 minutes. So, you know, you just want to grind the coffee that you're going to use for that pot of coffee and leave the whole bean.
Okay.
For the rest.
And I did notice on the website recently, I don't think originally you had these, but I saw you do offer the little K-cups, I think most people call them, that go into the one serving already ground. Is that right?
That's right. And they're already ground, but they're nitrogen flushed. So there's an oxygen barrier, and so it's fresh until you pierce the cup, and so that you're still getting a fresh cup of coffee. We haven't figured out yet how to do the middle ground, which is provide ground coffee, but we're starting to look at smaller packages so that we can do that, so sort of individual servings.
Right. So if there is a way to make it convenient, of course, we're not anti-convenience, but it cannot come at the expense of the health. So if you can't find a way to make it more convenient, sorry, that's just the way it is. Grind, and I do mine. I grind my own coffee. It's easy, no problem. Just a new habit you get into.
Yeah.
And it tastes great.
That's sort of the way that we felt. It's just we we felt like what we needed to be was the company that made every decision based on health, and that we didn't compromise, and that we want our customers to understand that we're not compromising, and that that means in some cases that we're not as convenient, and customers are not going to gravitate to us. One of the problems that we've had is that we only have one coffee, and the reason we only have one coffee is because there's one winner. There's one coffee which was the very highest in antioxidants, that is mold free, pesticide free. We've picked the very best coffee that we can, and we will never offer a range of coffees or a range of roasts, because there's only one roast that maintains the most amount of antioxidants and the least amount of negative compounds. But we feel honestly that there's going to be enough people out there who care about the health benefits of coffee, that drinking a fantastic quality organic coffee that really makes them feel better is going to be more important than the variety of having 10 or 15 different coffees.
Right. Well, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to toot your own horn here, because I heard you in a different conversation on a different interview talk about testing a lot of these different coffee companies, big box chains, specialties. We can even name names if you want, because I think that basically you tested all these different coffees from Dunkin' Donuts to Maxwell House to Bulletproof to you name it, to see who comes out on top. So speak to that a little bit.
So in our first 2 years, it was really all research and development, and it wasn't clear to me that we would find a business at the end of this, that we needed to find out, first of all, if we made every decision based on health, would we have something that was drinkable and affordable? Because we knew that, if it was $200 a pound and tasted like ditch water, it probably wouldn't be a success. So, but we refused to compromise on every decision based on health. When the coffee came out and we roasted it at the right level, it was a great tasting coffee, but we needed to measure it to see if we could really prove that all the things that we did actually had a measurable benefit. And so what we did is we took 49 of the top coffee brands. And when I say top, I mean everywhere from specialty coffee, single origin, great specialty coffee, all the way to the Maxwell House and the Folgers and instant coffee. And we tested them in three independent labs, the ones that I mentioned before. And what we were really testing for is the antioxidants in the coffee. So that's the thing that's linked to all of the health benefits of coffee. It's not the caffeine, it's the antioxidants or the chlorogenic acids. And in that test, we were number one in antioxidants of all the 49 brands, but anywhere from 2 to 4 times higher on average of any other coffee tested. So that was the first time that we realized, okay, the things that we have done have had a measurable benefit on the healthy compounds in the coffee, and that's when we realized that this was a business where people would be interested in buying the very best for their health.
Right, and can you only imagine if they repeated some of those 19,000 studies, but used a coffee that had 2 times, maybe up to 4 times, more of the health benefiting compounds than
yep.
what those studies showed up. That 40 whatever percent reduction of diabetes would probably be 70 or 80%.
Yeah, we'd love to start doing those sort of tests. For the moment, what we have to say is coffee's good for you, and we're making every effort to make it better. But yeah, having 2 to 4 times the amount of antioxidants is not going to do you any harm. It's and minimizing the pesticides and making sure there's no pesticides and no mold is only going to have positive benefits. We just don't know how much.
Okay. Well, can you speak to the jittery, anxiety, keep me up, that whole caffeine effect? Is there a decaf? Do you need to have a decaf option? Explain that a little bit.
We have decaf option, and it took us a little while to set that up, mainly because we needed to make sure that we weren't introducing any chemicals, and also we weren't losing or leaching any of the antioxidants through the process. So we finally settled on one process, Swiss water method, that basically keeps the antioxidants in the coffee. But But the examples that I can say with jitters and nervousness and that sort of thing is only anecdotal. But if you look at our site, there's about 1,800 five-star testimonials, and the majority of them, or at least a good 50% of them, focus on the fact that when people drink Purity, they don't have the same sort of issue with stomach or with jitters or nervousness. Our belief, we believe strongly that the reason why people are getting these side effects, including the side effects of withdrawal from coffee, is because they're dealing with the adverse effects of negative compounds in the coffee and not the coffee itself. It's a reaction to mold. It's a reaction to stale coffee, rancid coffee beans. It's a reaction to pesticides in the coffee. There's just too much that's been done wrong to coffee to cut corners to improve profit margin, and we think there's a reaction to that. But by all means, give us a test, and if you're sensitive to coffee and you feel like you're not getting the result, no questions asked, we'll just send you your money back and keep the coffee.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Last thing before we wrap it up, if you do you have any tips, recommendations from a taste standpoint or health standpoint on the consumer side? So you've got your monthly auto ship coming to you. It's a bag that once you open it, you've got 15 days. Once you grind it, you've got 15 minutes. But after you grind it, French press, AeroPress, no, normal coffee maker, is any tips on the actual brewing process, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I mean, so we're always focused on the health benefits, and there's a couple of methods that are particularly good depending on what compounds you want in your coffee. Espresso is great for maximizing the chlorogenic acids because you're putting it under pressure, you're extracting more of the antioxidants from the coffee. But it's a smaller cup of coffee. If you're not an espresso drinker, I think French press is very good. There's two schools of thought on this, not going into too many details, but there's a thing called diterpenes in coffee called cafestol and cauliol, which are particularly good for the liver. So if you have any sensitivity around improving liver health, French press is a great way to go. But it's also shown to slightly elevate LDL cholesterol, which, there's two schools of thought about this without going into the details on what you think about cholesterol, but a paper filter gets rid of that. So I would say probably the best advice I can give is just drink the coffee the way you love your coffee. Try and avoid creamers and sugars and to as much as you possibly can. They're not doing you any favors. Drink the coffee black if you can, and really just find the method that allows you to drink more coffee. But I say my three favorite would be French press, espresso, and drip coffee, but also cold brew is particularly good. Cold brew, if you've got a problem with acid in coffee, it doesn't actually change the pH level in the coffee, but it makes it a little bit softer on people's stomach if you're very sensitive.
Okay, great. And I'll just share with the listeners, I'm always on the lookout for things to doctor up my food and drink. If I can throw a little spice or throw a little garlic or throw a little anything to doctor up my salad, my whatever I'm eating or drinking. And cinnamon's a common thing I'll go to, but the spices are so full of antioxidants.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've talked about the coffees. I mean, there's more antioxidants in the coffee than there is kale and blueberries and all the foods we think of. But if you combine a few spices, there's one from Primal Palate, a blend. It's actually apple spice, but it's cinnamon and ginger and allspice. I think some cardamom in there, nutmeg maybe. But talk about a
Yep.
1-2 punch. When you throw a little spice into the coffee too, then antioxidant power goes up even more. So
Absolutely.
that's my one little coffee tidbit.
That That's such a good point. Most people, and when I say coffee is incredibly high in antioxidants, it is. But the only things that are higher, as you pointed out, on the auric table are spices. But most often, people can't consume enough spice to reproduce what they're getting from their coffee. But that's a fantastic tip, and we're gonna start to use that at Purity as well.
I want to say, don't quote me on this. You may know. I looked at that chart one time. Clove and cinnamon, it seemed like we're near the very top, and those would be two that it seemed like would go well in coffees. So,
yep.
Good thing to think about. Okay, well, can you talk about where to get the coffee? You mentioned there's the auto ship option, but basically, you're not going to find this at a store. I think we're able to sell it here at the clinic. We just got an account with y'all. So if you're here in Lubbock, you could come by and get some, but it's most convenient. Probably just to get online and get set up, puritycoffee.com. Is that where they go?
That's right. And, we're working with dietitians, integrative medicine doctors, nutritionists, and that sort of thing, because we want the message to get out about coffee and health. And so that's sort of the way we're trying to promote. But at the same time, as you said, it's much more convenient for most people, unless you have somebody local in your area, just to go puritycoffee.com. Order online. You can order a la carte, just order a bag, or you can set it up on a subscription, which is more convenient, and you'll have the fresh coffee delivered to your door.
And I do want to say, we haven't mentioned the price. We've alluded to the fact that you didn't care about what the cost would be. You wanted health, not you weren't going to cut corners, and therefore it may cost more. But I'm happy to say the cost is very reasonable, and I'm trying to remember exactly. I want to say it's like $20 for this bag, 12-ounce bag, something in that neighborhood.
That's exactly it. It's $20 for a 12-ounce bag, which is about, the funny thing about price sensitivity is that makes about 60 cups of coffee, and nobody seems to have a problem, go to Starbucks and spending $3 or more on a coffee when,
burn coffee.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's why we like our audience and our patients at our clinic to know the why behind everything. When you know the why behind it, then you'll be more motivated to give the little extra effort or spend a little extra money. But $20 for 60 cups of coffee and all the health benefits that you're going to get from the Purity, and you just think about the copays alone people pay for their medications. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. No-brainer. Everybody, we're going to try to encourage all of our 2,000 members to get on the Purity Coffee. But I encourage all the audience to go to puritycoffee.com. You can read more about everything we talked about today, get a subscription, do whatever. I'm assuming Facebook and Instagram and all the social media you're probably on.
Yep, all of that. LinkedIn for people who've got businesses or practices. But we're pretty accessible.
And I can't forget how Amber, your wife, I'm assuming she turned her health around and doing well now.
She did. And the last thing I want to say is, coffee was the panacea that fixed everything. But what I would say is this. We did a lot of different things, and she's in great shape now, but we, from remediating our house to changing the supplements and exercise and just a long list of things to do. But, looking at our coffee was one of the easiest things. And so that's sort of what we try to encourage people to do is like, this is a relatively easy thing for you to shift in your diet compared to all the other things that we need to do.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree, and a lot of bang for your buck. You're drinking coffee anyways. This will be a minor shift in your habit, and you'll get so much benefit for it. So a super easy thing to do, but as we always talk about at our clinic, the four pillars, nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. I mean, you've got to address all these different factors in your life, but when you can slip in a kind of easy, quick flip of a current habit you're already doing, it's just so easy to do. You need to just go do it. So great,
that's
Andrew.
It.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you again for the efforts in doing this research and putting the team together and figuring all this out for us. I mean, I wish more food producers would do that across the board with all the food and beverage we consume. So thank you so much for all you've done. I know it's impacting a lot of lives for the better.
Well, thanks a lot, Ben. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, everybody, you're listening to Andrew Salisbury from PurityCoffee.com. This is Dr. Ben Edwards with You're the Cure on VeritasMedical.com. We will be back next week with an exciting show, so join us next week.